Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Qasim not able to join. Our guest today is Jimmy. So Jimmy, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, Dan. My name is Jimmy Kim. I'm the founder and CEO at SendLane.com. We're an email, unified email SMS and reviews platform for e-commerce merchants.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this company?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, the company started out of need and necessity, not because I had a brilliant business idea. The way that it all started was very simple. I was actually doing very well in my first business, which was kind of a content creator affiliate marketing business where I was, I was making money as an affiliate marketer using email, but B, I was teaching people how to do that. And I had an opportunity to invest in this company, give some money to this company actually as a loan first that turned into investment. And that company was this company called New, which was a men's streetwear clothing company. And that's kind of where SendLane kind of all grew from, where we started to have this incredible need that I couldn't fill. And being an email marketer, I had what I wanted to do. And unfortunately, the tools that were available out there at the time were only available that the tools that were available at the time didn't were either too basic or too expensive, right? So we went to go build our own tool. And that's kind of how the story of the company started. Well, it wasn't until 2017 that the product became a business. That's when I decided to jump in. And I've been building this thing for 6 years with this very simple vision of unifying the MarTech stack, essentially eliminating all the different stacks of the own marketing and bringing them all together so that you can actually have a real unified experience for your customer.
Awesome. So what makes you better than your competition?
I think right from the core is that the heart of this company is very different and unique. I'm a merchant, a former merchant that developed a product for myself, essentially. And I'm staying true to that because I'm staying very focused on the end user as well, too, and figuring out what it comes to, which is why I think product development has always been one of the strengths of us. Secondly, I think the email expertise, right? With that email expertise, we also are deliverability experts as well, which is very unique in this business because most our competitors are not playing where they own their own infrastructure. They're relying on a third party. So that makes us one of those unique pure plays that we have been in the market. And then third, I think really just the way that we approach our customers. One of the core books that I talk about all the time is that there was a book called Delivering Happiness that's from Tony Hsieh. It talks about the Zappos model of how customer service was approached within the business. And you know, I applied that philosophy to the business over and over, and customer service is very much a strong point of our business. I talk about it pretty often. I'm pretty social about it. And I talk about how we're just better at it. And I think that it's important because in the scope of things, software is supposed to make things easier and helpful for you. But at the end of the day, you still need the human approach and you still got questions. We're all humans. We're not perfect at the things that we have, especially when it's just to help them do their job ultimately, right? So I think that's the way we think about it. So those are usually the reasons why people make that switch. Outside of there's things like price. Obviously, we're very competitive. You know, we've got cool technology and features that you can't do anywhere else. So like there's a lot of differentiators, but that's really the reason why most people switch right now.
Awesome. So in terms of SMS and email, where specifically does the use case come in for your business? Is it more of like after somebody buys, you're getting people to buy, like where in the e-commerce space does this come in?
Yeah. When you think about what we're doing, we're basically helping them communicate to people who show up to their site and opt into their brand. So they can either say, hey, I want more information about that discount, or you want to sign up for the newsletter, whatever that might be. Alternatively, it's when they make the purchase, right? So when they make a purchase of your product, you get added to their email list, their SMS list, if you opt into it. And basically you're getting shared of announcements and emails and stuff like that. That's what we facilitate essentially for the e-commerce business.
So are you using any AI in your business?
When you use the word AI, we've been using AI for years. I mean, ultimately, the things that we're doing are between machine learning and making fundamental decisions for the customers from optimizations. That's all essentially the same thing, what AI means. We've been doing it for years, and I would say that we've continued to do it. And you know, some of the tools that are available are helping us to move faster down the line, but it's exciting for what these things are starting to enable for the business.
Awesome. So if an e-commerce firm is going to sit down and work with you, you know, that has not used any of your tools, has not used any email marketing or SMS tools, what specifically would you say for somebody that's just starting out, maybe just went viral overnight, about how your tools could really help them scale?
You know, actually, what's interesting is our tool's not designed for the brand newbie. It's designed for someone who's hit a little bit of scale. So if you're a brand newbie, I actually think that there is some great tools that are available. So if you're already using Shopify, for example, Shopify has a slew of tools that are probably good enough for your brand for that size. Our tool starts becoming relevant when you're doing probably about $1 million a year or more, because you're looking for those next levels of features and sets and tools. So our tool is generally a graduation from a MailChimp or upgrade from your Klaviyo, your Shopify basic one or something like that. So that's usually where our tool comes in. You can use our product at the earliest days. We're helpful. It's easy to use. It's intuitive. It's good. But like, that's not where our core market is. So we're a little expensive at that point, but we become pretty price conscious as you start to scale.
So in terms of your core market, do you work mostly with folks that have custom websites that aren't on Shopify, or do you also work with Shopify companies?
Yeah, we work with both. Our brands, we're not agnostic to one. We're platform agnostic. That means that like we'll work with anybody that works with us. So, you know, we have basically the Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, Miva Merchant is a small merchant that we have an integration with, for example. We have a bunch of custom stores already today, Salesforce, Commerce Cloud, Magento's. I mean, anyone who can build a little development work, I mean, ultimately we're pretty flexible and nimble. It's about the personalization, the data that you feed us, and the better you feed us our data, the better we're able to spit that out for you.
So what was your biggest challenge when starting this company?
I'm not a technical founder. I'm a sales founder. I'm a sales and marketing founder who had to go learn how to be technical, learn what product meant, learn how product planning went. And there's a lot of challenges there. Where I'm gifted and talented is more on being able to find our hook and our angle and, you know, being able to create the message. But on the technical side, it was something that I learned. I knew what I wanted on the product side. So as I look over myself now and I look back years ago, if I would have figured out who I am a product founder. So what I always say about myself is I know what I want, but I don't know how to get it there. I just know it's doable. And I have the right mindset of the experience and the thought process, the testing and the questioning and making sure that you're doing the things that it requires to create a great product. So, and then, of course, the vision, of course, you know, the vision thought of actually seeing what we want to build and knowing that this is what the merchants need. And, you know, it's resonating as even in market today, as we're consolidating three platforms for people today. And, you know, they enjoy it. Not only are you saving them thousands of dollars or more, you're also consolidating their time, right? And giving them a clear picture of what their tool and, you know, the product can actually give them out because of the data that's allowed to be given to them. So that's the way I think about things.
So you mentioned that you're not a technical founder. So in those days, did you find a co-founder? Like, how did you find the right technical partner to really help you turn this idea into a business, into a reality for you?
Yeah. One of my co-founders that we had, he wasn't quite as technical. He's me now, basically. Or I would say less than me now, maybe a couple of years ago, maybe 2020 me, basically. But he was me then, in that he had just enough technical edge on the product management side of things to understand how to get this along. We partnered with a development firm in the early days, and then we led that conversation into an in-house hire. And we have an amazing CTO that joined us in 2019 that I recruited in, that's been probably a very pivotal part of our success in this company. So, you know, having that right partnership, the funny story I always talk about is like, I spent 400 hours on Udemy learning Laravel, PHP, Vue, and front-end JavaScript development. I still don't understand, but I understand enough and did enough tests that I can do the basics now. But I went and learned it because I needed to understand fundamentally how they need to think about things. And then it allowed me to understand product management and how you apply it within the business. So I did become technical because I needed to become technical, because it's my job to be technical. So I spent that time doing that, but that's kind of part of my gig. So yeah, that was a challenge that I had to figure out eventually. But you know, it's people, obviously having great people, but also just being a great learner. And that's reality of things.
So you mentioned having great people. That's really important. So how are you able to find those people, like the right people to partner with you? Because I think that many, you know, people who listen to our podcast struggle with finding the right, you know, co-founders or partners in their business?
Yeah, you know, I think I've been blessed with the talent of being a pretty good recruiter from the early days. I'm actually one funny day. A lot of my senior leadership says that I slid into their DMs because I went and found them and they didn't find me. And I think the big thing about why I'm good at that is I'm good at looking at, you know, the thing I look at people, right? LinkedIn has become such a great resource. I can literally look at a LinkedIn and it's your resume at some level or another, right? It's your resume. And you look at that thing and I can start seeing patterns behind that. So immediately I see how your job history and your pattern is. And this is probably something great for people who listen to this, but patterns matter. If you jump company to jump company every 7 months, I'm going to look at that pattern. It's going to shout true or not, whatever it might be. The reality is that's what I see. And that becomes a little bit different. So I look at those patterns. I look at the backgrounds. I look at your interaction. It's actually become an interesting thing. Social, for example, where you can actually check how a person is. Are they active on LinkedIn? If they're not active, what were their posts like? And being able to see that stuff lets me identify, hey, this person might be interesting. And then you just start a casual relationship behind it. Hey, what's up? How are you? Like, I looked your background, just being open. I'm looking for a person to fill this role. Are you interested in that? And if they say yes or no, then you can have that deeper conversation. So that's literally been my strategy. It's go find a people. Just like, you know, what's funny is that people don't understand, like in sales and B2B sales, they teach you an outbound, very simple. Go find a people you want to sell to. It's the same thing you have to apply in recruiting. It's the same people. Go find a people that you want to work for you and go convince them that you're the better company to work for and get them on board to whatever you're doing and offer them whatever it is. So that's kind of the principle and philosophy that I took with recruiting. And that's something that I personally think I've been doing a great job with. Yeah, I've made some snafus, but like most of the times when I'm going out and recruiting, I feel pretty confident this is the right person to recruit into the company.
So when you're finding those people, are you conducting interviews with lots of different people? Or is it just like one person that you're just persistent, saying, listen, I need you to come work for me?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think I have both ways. It all depends. If I have a role open, right? So there's two ways to approach it. If I know the person that I want, because I see a person that I think is important to this company, I can already know that there's a role opening up. That's easy. I'm going to go bring him in. I'm going to go through the process, interview him, put him through all the different people, but knowing that this person is pretty important. If I have an open role and I don't know who I want sometimes, like, you know, and I'll open up a role, I actually will go meet a lot of people. I think it's super important to meet a plethora of people. I had this rule a long time ago, especially with senior people, and this is going to pain senior people, but I like to meet 30 people, at least 30 first dates. You got to meet them, got to see who they are, because the thing about the interview process that's really interesting is two things. One, it lets you personally at the interviewee side fine-tune what you want, because the more you talk about it, you tend to be able to be better at honing down what you want. But number two, what's really going to give you is it's going to give you a really vast wide of people that you're going to meet and remember. And what I found really fast was that anyone who ever stands out, one meeting or 30 meetings, you're going to remember that person was really a good person for your business. And that person generally is the person you end up hiring anyways, most of the time, because they stood out right from the thing. Like, just like they say about an employee that comes into a company, and within, at least in the startup space, within the first 30 days, if they don't make impact, they're probably not going to make impact ever in the business. Not a significant impact. And I've seen that over and over again. By 90 days, they should be really making impacts across a business. That's a startup. And it's the same way with an interview. The first interview and the first 30 minutes of that interview, if you don't connect, it's probably not a right fit. Pretty quickly, you know, when you know, ultimately, and it's really much there in a gut instinct. People don't like to be subjective like that. But the reality is like, you know, what kind of person you're looking to hire, whatever it is that you're looking to hire, if you can find that personality, and of course, the need and the function of the job and the role, that's pretty easy and spot on. It's not that hard to connect those two things.
So like in a startup, you know, there's always this moment sometimes of desperation where so you're going 150 miles an hour, you're going really quick, like I need to fill this role ASAP. So how do you go about like, okay, I need to fill this role ASAP, but I also need to take the time to find the right person, like, you know, that kind of crossover of like timelines and filling it with the right person.
It's this is unfortunately just something every CEO and founder especially has to learn, is that you can't speed this process out. It really can't. You've got to get beat up. It takes time. I know that you're busier than hell and you've got to fill the spots, but you got to take your time hiring, because it costs you way more money to hire bad than it does to hire slow. put it that way. I'd rather have people I can't onboard or people I can't sign up or sell to right now because I'm too busy than I would rather have a poor employee that's a wrong fit for this company sitting in the wrong seat and ruining things that could be into the future, right? It's kind of like do you take bad customer now knowing they're going to churn in 6 months, or are you going to take a good customer knowing that, and that we can't sign for 3 more months, but it's going to be a great employee for the next 12 months, or it's a great customer for the next 12 to 16 months, right? Like, you got to make that bet. And I would say that I've definitely touched the fire of trying to hire too fast at this company. And it's definitely something that's changed where, look, I need to feel the right person. You need to feel gut instinct, know that this is the right person. But secondly, you've got to make sure you're going through the motions and making sure that you're getting multiple opinions. So there's been plenty of people that I've thought were great until I got them to some of my other people and went through the process and suddenly really quickly learned they were not good for the business and we would have made a real big mistake. Just something you got to learn.
Right. So how large is your team today?
We're about just shy under 70 people.
So are you guys a fully remote team like all throughout the US, or do you have a global presence as well?
We have a global presence. We're not just in the US. We've got team members overseas and north of us in Canada, though it's not US, it's still not USA. We have people overseas in Europe, Asia, and in South America as well too. So we've got a pretty decent global presence. Our leadership mostly sits here in San Diego, of course, but otherwise the team is dispersed.
Awesome. So what would you say is your top business priority in the next 3 to 6 months?
I think we have a pretty well-developed product roadmap. For us, fortunately, we're in a really great position in the business side. So we just need to continue pushing forward the way that we're growing right now. We need to grow there and continue to recruit really smart people into the company. And so those are the things that we work on and we're always working on. And even today with or without roles open, we're recruiting in quiet right now for all sorts of roles openly. And we bring those people in just because we know what we want and we spend our time doing that correctly.
So in terms of growing and, getting more customers, like what's been the biggest strategy that's worked for you guys?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of different things, but it's really much been a content education's approach to the market, learning that we are out there in market talking about something that we do and fundamentally to shift someone's understanding. They need to understand why they need to do it. And I talk a lot about the why in the market and we share a lot of into the market. We do a lot of events. We do a lot of webinars and events too as well that help get that moving along. So those are some of the growth levers that we use.
In terms of webinars, like how do you get the word out? Like how do you find the people to come and join your webinar?
Yeah, I mean, webinars are just, I mean, we have our email list, of course, that's A and number one, and we've grown that for years, but we use social media to post on it. We've used some advertising behind that, but it just depends on what you're looking to spend money on at that point. But you can, there's a plenty of place to fill a webinar. That's not really a problem.
Makes sense. So what is the one biggest piece of advice you wish you knew before you started this entrepreneurship journey?
That's a really vague question, I guess. I think the biggest piece of advice is that everything takes longer than you think it takes and you just need to hang on and be patient with it because that's just how this all works. So that's probably like a general broad advice that I could give myself from, 6, 7 years ago at this point.
Awesome. So if we're going to have this conversation again, in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
I hope we're continuing to grow at the speed we are, which would be an explosive journey through what we're doing right now. And the company would probably be at least double the size at that point, if not triple. Yeah, I hopefully delivered more product into the world and we're saving more companies money. So it's actually, the next 12 months is a really exciting stage in this company right now. And I think that it's going to be a really exciting thing to look back 12 months from now and be able to look and say, hey, like, wow, what did we do here? So yeah, it's a really exciting time for the company. So I would just say, love to see the company double or triple in size because that means we double or tripled in revenue most likely.
That's awesome. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing the best way to get in contact with you or your company website?
Yeah. I mean, the company can be found at sendlane.com. It's S-E-N-D, like sendlane, L-A-N-E.com, like a driving lane. Where I'm actually found myself personally actively is I spend most of my time on two places on Twitter. And a LinkedIn. So you can find me on Twitter at Yo Jimmy Kim. So Y-O Jimmy Kim, J-I-M-M-Y-K-I-M. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. Just look up Jimmy Kim. I'm on there. I like to pump more content, more specifically about e-commerce email and SMS reviews. So I talk about retention marketing in e-commerce a lot on the internet. So if you'd like to learn about that, please come visit, come find me, track me down in the internet, and feel free to DM me if you've got something you want to talk about a little bit further.
Awesome. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you guys. Hopefully in 1 year we can chat as you guys double and triple in size.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
All right, man. See ya. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye.